Welcome back to Radio or Not for a Wednesday, September 10th. Nicole Sandler here. And in this segment, we're going to turn our attention towards South Florida, because after all, it is home. Here's Joe Jackson.
We think we're pretty tough. Us city slickers, we get around. And when the going's rough, we kill the pain and relocate. We're never married, never faithful, not to any town. But we never leave the past behind, we just accumulate. So sometimes when the music stops, I seem to hear a distant sound of waves and seagulls and football crowds and church bells, and I wanna go back to my hometown. Though I know it'll never be the same, back to my hometown. 'Cause it's been so long, and I'm wondering if it's still there.
Nicole Sandler here at Radio or Not. And yeah, I grew up in South Florida. Moved down here when I was just out of sixth grade. Yeah, I went to elementary school in the New York City school system. And it's been sort of a love-hate relationship with South Florida with me. There are a lot of things I dislike intensely about life in South Florida. And, you know, the question remains, is it something that is worth staying and fighting to change or getting up and moving on? I'm of mixed emotions right now, but I'll tell you this. As long as I'm here, I want to fight to make things better. So here on Radio or Not, I'm going to continue doing my commentary on, you know, what's happening in the world and with this nation and the national election scene. But I promise you, segments on an almost daily basis dealing with things right here in our own hometown in South Florida. Now, let's go to the phone right now and speak with Robin Bartleman. She is the chairwoman of the Broward School Board. And, well, there have been heavy-duty meetings over the last few days trying to come up with, a raise for the teachers. Hi, Robin. I read in the paper this morning that still no deal for Broward teachers. So what happened yesterday?
Well, we worked until about 8 o'clock at night, and we're working through the language. We always had, for a while now, we've had the 3% raise on the table, and I know we've upped it a little bit, and we're working through some language now regarding the step for next year and things like that. So I'm hoping we'll be able to resolve it.
Yeah, does that seem to be the holdup right now, is regarding the step for next year? That's what it seemed to say in the paper.
I think that's part of it, definitely. But, you know, the board really is trying to work with the teachers, and we're trying to do the best we can. Now, remember, the Tallahassee cut us $34 million last year, $60 million this year, so that's $94 million in cuts. You have the governor saying we're going to have the holdback of $10 to $20 million. And people, I've been watching the news and reading the paper, and people think because 579, that's been removed from the ballot, that all of a sudden there's some miracle and public education is going to be saved. And that is absolutely not the case at all. 579 would have destroyed and dismantled the public education system, but the budget crisis still exists here in Florida. We're still 50 out of 50. We're still
Funded. Let's stress that. 50 out of 50, meaning 50th out of 50 states in terms of per capita funding per student. And that's despicable.
Absolutely.
This is Florida, for God's sake. I mean, we're supposed to be more advanced than that. You would expect that out of maybe Mississippi or Arkansas or Tennessee, but not Florida.
No, I agree with you. We, you know, this state, you know, they talk a big game. We're going to have the FCAT and accountability, and everything's based on one high-stakes test. But when it comes down to it, they don't put their money where their mouth is. And, you know, it's not just Broward County. We're not the only ones feeling the pain. I believe it was Orange County. I think they laid off 700 employees. You can see what's happening in Dade County. It's crazy what's going on in the state. The fact that teachers out of college can't get jobs, I mean, that blows my mind. This is public education.
Right.
This is a paramount responsibility of the state.
Well, and let's, Robin Bartleman, chair of the Broward School Board, with us here on Radio or Not. And let's even take this to a national level. I seem to get, I know in Florida, the Republicans really are trying to destroy public education and turn everything into a voucher program and privatize it. But that sort of seems to be what I'm hearing on the national level as well from the Republicans.
Right. I think that with No Child Left Behind, I mean, in year five of No Child Left Behind, they speak about restructuring or becoming a charter district or who takes over the schools. No Child Left Behind, the goal is in 2014, 100% of the children will be reading on grade level in this country. Statistically, that can never happen if you think of the bell-shaped curve. It's a goal that will, you know, it's a great, it's pie in the sky.
Right. It sounds good.
When you have a goal that's 100% and you're going to hold schools accountable to 100% of the children reading on grade level, not taking into account students with disabilities or anything else, I mean, you're not going to meet it. So you're basically setting up the public school systems for failure.
For failure, exactly. And that seems to be just the par for the course. And so they're setting it up for failure so they could say, see, we told you, this doesn't work.
Right. And you know what? That's not the answer. And the answer is, you know, people say, well, we just keep pumping money into public education. It doesn't do anything. Well, you know what? What do teachers get paid in the state compared to the national average? It doesn't matter how many computers you have, how beautiful your building is. It's the quality of that individual in the classroom. And go into any restaurant. You want to be a teacher? Oh, my God, no, they make no money. Who wants to do that? It's not a field that's respected, in my opinion, in this country. They're not paid well. And why? Because they refuse to fund it. 85% of our operational budget goes to salaries and insurance benefits for our staff.
Wow.
And when you have nothing, I mean, the budget, and they talk about, oh, the school system has a $5 billion budget. Well, that's not true. Half of that budget goes to capital, and that can only be spent on bricks and mortar and some technology. We're not allowed to take the $5 billion and pull it all together and give the teachers. We only get to operate within that operational budget. There are categories in that operational budget where you have to spend the money within those categories. We can't take textbook dollars and put them into teacher salaries. So it's very complicated, the Florida Education Finance Program. And they, you know, you'll see, read in the paper, a $5 billion budget. They can't afford to give the teachers a raise. Well, that's not true. That's not the budget we have for salaries.
Right. And then
we
also have a situation here in Florida with the FCAT ridiculousness, where schools that underperform are penalized by monetarily. So, you know, the better they do, the more money they get. The worse they do, the less money they get. So how are those schools supposed to improve when they're being penalized so they can't, so they're going to have a harder time improving? Where's the logic in that?
There is no logic. And what's worse is we had our budget hearing the other night, and the FCAT, the dollars that we have to go towards the FCAT for the bonuses for the teachers, we don't have enough money to cover that this year. They didn't even fund their own FCAT plan.
Lovely.
At the level they did last year. Not only that, they've changed the way they do the FCAT at the high school level. It's going to look at attendance, graduation rate, international baccalaureate testing, advanced placement testing. They cut the funding for international baccalaureate and advanced placement testing. So now they're holding us accountable. They're setting these new standards in place, but they're cutting the funding for us to provide, you know, the things we need to do to reach their goal. It's so backwards, and I get so frustrated because I believe so much in public education, and I feel the state sets us up for failure. I feel the national government sets us up for failure. Broward County is an A district. Broward County is one of the top five urban districts in the country.
Really?
Recognized by the Broad Foundation. It's an independent foundation. They look at your data and they look at subgroups and are you achieving? And Broward County, we're one of the top five. We'll know in October where we place. There's $2 million in scholarships. People don't know that about Broward County and how great we do. But we continue to do more with less, and at some point, it's going to be very difficult to reach these levels when you don't have money, when you have teachers fleeing the state.
Yeah, you're succeeding against all odds. Now, thankfully, the Florida Supreme Court showed a moment of clarity here by striking down 5, 7, and 9, as you said. I mean, I thought this was something we were going to be just harping on between now and November 4th. Thankfully, we don't have to, but this just drives home the importance of getting more Democrats in the state legislature in Tallahassee, because they're the ones truly fighting for our kids. It's the Republicans who have been slashing the education budget over and over and over again.
Oh, absolutely. And the message that I want to get out to everyone listening is just because 579 is off the ballot, that's not, you know, they think it's, oh, we fixed public education.
Right. No.
Absolutely not. That is so far from the truth.
We're still dealing with 50th out of 50 and just and the state cutting our education funds, which, I mean, these are our kids. This is the future. And if you want to attract business,
it's going to be worse.
I'm sure. And if you want to attract business to the state, you got to have a decent educational system, and we don't.
And I agree. And hopefully someone will wake up one day and say, you know what? Maybe we should be investing in public schools instead of prisons.
Wouldn't that be
because
nice?
That's the answer.
Maybe if they invested in public schools, we wouldn't need to spend so much on prisons.
Oh, I agree.
All right.
I just get so frustrated. But the message I want to get out to everyone listening is that we still need to fight for public education. It's not over. We still have No Child Left Behind. We still have FCAT. We're still not adequately funded. I mean, this is still the end. I see this still long term. It's still the dismantling of public education. It's just 579 would have, you know, sped up the process.
Right. Hey, Robin, you know, I went to an open house at my kid's school. And the teacher explained that this year they're doing away. I know last year, my daughter was in third grade last year, so it was her first year with the FCAT, the actual FCAT. And we got two grades. One was the numerical, you know, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Thankfully, she got a 3 and a 4. The other was a percentile score, I guess, where you see where your kid is in relation to on a national level. Right.
But
they're doing
rid of that.
They got rid of that one. So, you know, so now we have no measure against the rest of the country to see how our kids are performing. That one, to me, was the more useful of the two.
Oh, it's more useful for us as a state, as educators. What you're doing now is you're only testing them on the Sunshine State Standards curriculum. That's the FCAT test where you get the 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Mm-hmm.
You're testing them on did they master the Sunshine State Standards, which are antiquated, which, you know, Charlie Crist said he was going to go back and revise the curriculum. I want to know where that is. And so the other test, which is the norm reference test, that lets you know where your child compares nationally.
And nationally, that's really, and that's the useful one.
Information.
Right. And when I asked why they cut that one, the teacher said they don't have the money for people to grade them.
It's my understanding it was a financial part of the decision making in Tallahassee. It was a financial decision. But, I mean, that tells us where we compare nationally. Are we doing a good job here in Florida? Are our students going to be able to compete with other students, you know, to get into colleges?
Right.
You know, national, you know, colleges across the country. So, I mean, I think I don't agree with the decision. But again, you know, it's the Sunshine State Standards it's not the norm reference test that grades our school. It's the Sunshine State Standards that give our schools the grades that, you know, that whole.
Right. But it's nonsense. It doesn't mean anything.
I know, and that's part of the problem with the FCAT. Like at the high school level, passing the FCAT, you graduate passing the FCAT. That's how you graduate. But you could also take the ACT and graduate, which is a national test. But it's for the school. It's for us to say we're an A school, we're a B school, we're a
right,
C school.
And it's so that that's you can penalize the schools that didn't do as well as the schools that did better, which is so backwards.
It is. I mean, I would rather have a national test and look at how our children, you know, compare and compete and how we do. And we are doing well on the NAEP, which is and national reading test that's given to fourth and eighth graders. And Florida is doing well, but that's the information that's useful. How do we compare? If I'm a business and I want to move to Florida, how does the public education system of this state compare with the rest of the country? And if you look at the No Child Left Behind and the adequate yearly progress of the state, we have states like Mississippi beating us. And not because they're doing a better job, it's the way Florida, each state got to choose a test for No Child Left Behind, each state got to choose their standards, choose how many kids count for cell size, and, you know, ours is definitely more stringent than other states. So when you look at us, we don't compete or compare. We don't do as well. And it's not because our kids aren't performing. And, we need to do something. You need to compare apples to apples. And you need to, it can't all be about an FCAT test. And
change that, Robin?
You're going to have to change the legislature. You're going to have to email
Julie
Crist.
Change the legislature.
The problem is the Broward delegation, the majority of them, they're all with us. So here in Broward County, you feel like you're spinning your wheels, but we as a school board are part of the greater Florida Consortium of School Boards. We're part of the Florida School Board Association. And when we go lobby now, we don't just go lobby and say, oh, we're Broward County. We walk in with other school board members from across the state. So, you know, you might walk into someone's office and they'll say, where are you from? And I'll say, Broward County. And they'll think in their head, well, she can't vote for me. I don't need to be accountable to her. Mm-hmm. But I can turn and say, but here's Jane Doe. And she's a school board in the county you represent. So I feel like we're doing really well. We're trying to get the message out. You know, Charlie Crist said he was going to do something about the FCAT.
Yeah, right.
He needs to do it.
I don't believe anything he says at this point, though. I mean, he's told us, he said one thing and done the opposite. So, well, maybe now that he's no longer running for VP, he'll turn his attention toward the state of Florida for the first time in his career. In his gubernatorial career. Yeah, I hope so, too. Well, Robin, please keep us posted on the progress and the teachers' contracts. Hopefully, you can reach a common ground. It's tough economic times, and but we need to take care of our teachers, too.
I know, and we are trying as a school board. You know, Palm Beach settled at 2%. Dade County didn't settle. We've already had 3% at the table. We're as a board. We're doing everything we can. It's just a tough decision. Because if you overspend your budget at the end of the year, you have to make up the difference.
And chances are they're going to cut the budget in the middle of the year again anyway, as they've done the last two years.
It's just we're walking such a fine line right now, thanks to Tallahassee and their negligence and they refuse to fund public education. So that's going to be our focus this year. We want to continue the momentum that's already, with 579, we've been out there. We know public education is a priority to our community, and we want people to know the fight's not over. You know, 579 did not put any money back in our pockets.
No.
We're still in a really bad position, and we need to fight for the children of Florida.
I gotcha. Robin Bartleman, chairwoman of the Broward School Board, thank you for joining us this morning on
thank
Radio
you.
Or Not, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you, Nicole.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And there you have it. You know, I'm in a weird position with a kid in Florida schools. When I first lost my job 2 weeks ago, my initial thought was, okay, great. Now I'll get the hell out of here. I'll put the house on the market and I'll leave and get my kid a decent education somewhere else. Well, luckily, she's in Broward County schools, which aren't bad, but it's against all odds. But now I've got something actually keeping me here. A couple of things. So I'm trying to make it work, but I guess that means I keep fighting the good fight and speaking out for our kids and our teachers. 50th out of 50, that doesn't cut it in my book. This is Florida, fourth most populous state. It's unacceptable. And now we have the story that's in the papers this morning about Judge Jerry Beth Cohen's ruling that the new ballpark, the proposed ballpark for the Florida Marlins, serves a, quote, paramount public purpose, meaning public dollars can be used to build it. Well, you know what? If they asked me if I was allowed to vote whether I would rather my tax dollars or the tax dollars collected by Miami for, you know, from the bed tax. And I understand that that money's supposed to go towards projects that serve a paramount public purpose. I would rather see it go towards schools. Sorry, that to me is a more important public purpose than a ballpark, which is going to serve to line the pockets of the owners of the Marlins. Let them build a ballpark. They make lots of money. If they really think people are going to go to the games, then they'll make plenty of money back from a ballpark. I don't want my tax dollars going to fund it. And that's what Norman Brayman's lawsuit is about. It's saying, let us vote. It's not saying don't do the ballpark. Let the people vote. But it's looking more and more as if we're not going to have a say in the matter. And that this $515 million ballpark on the site of the former Orange Bowl is going to go forward. And too bad what you think. Again, our priorities in the state are screwed up. What's more important than our kids? What's more important than the future? You see, if you look at the Republican way of thinking, they've mortgaged our kids' futures. They've borrowed from China and elsewhere so that we have the biggest deficit, the biggest debt in history. So where do we go now? The Marlins, Miami-Dade County, and City of Miami will continue negotiating final construction and financing agreements and hope to present them to the city and county commissioners in the coming weeks. The team plans to unveil renderings of the 37,000-seat ballpark shortly. Well, I've got to take my hat off to Norman Brayman because he's vowing to fight on. And I honestly don't think that there's any ulterior motive there, business-wise or otherwise. I just think he, in this instance anyway, it says we deserve to vote on this. And I fully, fully agree. All right, there's one other local story from today that I've got to applaud. A Monroe County Circuit Court judge has ruled that Florida's 31-year-old gay adoption ban is unconstitutional. He issued an order that allows an openly gay Key West foster parent to adopt a teenage boy he has raised since 2001. I love this. Declaring the adoption to be in the boy's best interest, Circuit Judge David J. Audlin Jr. said the Florida law forbidding gay people from adopting is contrary to the state constitution because it singles out a group for punishment. Florida is only one of two states, the other being Mississippi, that forbids gay people from adopting. You know, as an adoptive mother, nobody who wants to open their homes and their lives and their hearts to a child and take a child who needs the love and nurturing and stability and everything else that goes with being a family, nobody should be denied that, whether it's the gay parent-to-be or the child who deserves better than living their life in an orphanage or a group home or foster care. Now, when I adopted my daughter, I did so as a single woman who, at the time, was making a decent living, had a lovely home, always knew she wanted to be a mother, but never found the man that I wanted to have a child with and that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. And there I was, found myself 40 years old, and I said, what the hell am I waiting for? And I immediately started looking into international adoption. Now, I have this spiritual thing. I'm not a God-believing woman. I'm not a fan of organized religion, but I do believe in spirituality. I do believe that there are other forces in operation in the universe that sort of take us where maybe we're supposed to go. And I believe something was leading me to my kid. My daughter couldn't be any more my child than if, I'd spit her out myself. But what's to say that somebody, just because of their sexual orientation, isn't entitled to that same right to parent their child, whether biological or not? So the thing that's really scary, though, is, you know, someone's going to challenge this. An article that I'm reading from today's Miami Herald says, hopefully this ruling will start to chip away at this arcane state law. You know, in so many ways, Florida is just so backward. All right. One of the things that I plan on doing here on Radio or Not in our local section, and as we get more into it, I'm hoping on a daily basis to do a more general segment that can, you know, reach out to people not only across the country, but across the globe. And another segment that's for us here in South Florida. Because again, with the loss of my radio show and the loss of Jim DeFiti's show from the other station, there is no local progressive voice to be heard on a daily basis here in South Florida. So I plan on doing that here on Radio or Not. We'll do both. All right. Now, I do want to cover between now and November 4th, hyper cover, if you will, the local congressional elections. We have 3 seats here in South Florida that have been gerrymandered to be Republican, that have been held by, well, the Diaz-Balart brothers and Ileana Ross-Layton for far too long. And for the first time, really, we have 3 great challengers who stand a chance at actually winning. We have Joe Garcia going up against Mario Diaz-Balart. We have Raul Martinez going up against Lincoln Diaz-Balart. And we have Annette Tadeo going up against Ileana Ross-Layton. And a regular emailer to my radio show has made the transition with me to RadioOrNot.com. Thank you. His name is Jack Topel, and he's calling in to let us know about an event that's happening Saturday, September 20th, with all 3 of those candidates. Hi, Jack.
Hey, Nicole. Good morning. Oh, we finally get to talk. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I was working real late sending out. I don't know if you saw my response to you. Late last night, I responded to your suggestion about calling in and so forth.
Uh-huh. And so you're calling in now. I'm actually taping the show, so I'm recording this conversation, so you called just at the right time.
Oh, you're recording it right now?
I am recording right now. I was actually recording a commentary, and the phone rang, and I just picked it up.
Oh, how fantastic.
So it's like we're live on the air, except we're taping for the internet.
Okay. I appreciate you responding to the invitation, and hopefully, you know, we can let the public know what incredible event is about to take place later on this month.
Yeah, so tell us, what are you putting together?
Well, the Great Panthers of Dade is a chapter of a national intergenerational organization that is doing progressive things, has managed to put together an event where all 3 Democratic congressional candidates are going to be appearing in one venue at the same time.
So you're talking Joe Garcia, Raul Martinez, and Annette Tadeo.
And Annette Tadeo. They're mm-hmm. going to be coming to our meeting on the 20th, and the public would be able to meet and hear them. We're going to have questions, and the public would be able to ask questions. And the important thing is, you know, many people are paying attention to Barack Obama and to Palin and to the presidential campaign, but really where the rubber meets the road is in Congress. And we, for the first time in a long time, we happen to have 3 very viable, strong candidates.
Yeah, to get the Diaz-Balarts and Ileana out of there and get somebody in there, get some people in there who can affect change.
Yeah, and people don't realize just how strong they are. For instance, Tadeo, just last week, she just won a contest for the most contributions of all the progressive candidates nationwide.
Wow! So I didn't realize she won. I didn't know she won. That's great.
She won the prize, and she even got a $5,000 donation as a result of her winning.
And this was on who can get the most $1 donations from. Well, contributors. Was
minimum
that what it was?
$1.
Yeah, minimum $1. Right.
Most people. And now we have Bob Graham, who is going to be
with Joe Garcia on Friday. Bob Graham is going to do an event with Joe Garcia this Friday, and I'll post the information on that on the blog. But a free event, I believe it's at 11:30 in the morning at Miami-Dade College Kendall campus.
You got it right. Yeah. But the important thing is this event that's going to take place at the Unitarian Church in South Dade, which is 7701 Southwest 76th Avenue. We're opening our meeting to the general public, and our intention is to have kind of like a mini Mile High Stadium type of event for these candidates so that they can see the great support that there is here in town. And we invite the public to attend. Our meeting starts at 9:30. The 3 candidates will start their segment at 10:30. And then at the end, they'll have a chance to either volunteer for them or make contributions and what have you. Because it's vital that this year we continue the winds of change that is taking place in the nation, and it's going to be most important here in Dade County.
Well, I agree, and this is a great opportunity to meet all three of our Miami congressional candidates
Absolutely.
Up close and personal, and get to work and feet on the ground. This is what we need right now to spread the word, and they're all three of them doing really well, and this is a time where we can really make something happen.
Yeah.
So I will post the details on the blog at radioornot.com and help spread the word. Now, I'm flying out to New York that day. It's just bad timing. But hopefully, I mean, I'm going to go out and see Joe with Bob Graham on Friday and get out there and get active. I mean, that's what we need to do. So, Jack, tell
Absolutely.
Me, what else do you do? I know I've been getting emails from you for a long time throughout my days of my morning show. And now here I am doing Radio or Not and hopefully trying to really, really zero in not only on the national stuff, but on what's happening locally, because now we no longer have a local voice on the airwaves. So I want to
Absolutely.
Even go overboard to super serve the people who are concerned about what's going on right here in our own backyard. So you mentioned the Gray Panthers. What is your local affiliate? What do you do?
Well, first of all, I'm just a regular Joe. You know, I have my day job like everybody else. But I, you know, I have been paying attention to what's going on, and most importantly, what is at stake. People, very few people, even us who are somewhat activists, really realize what is at stake if we don't turn things around. So, to that order, I am the moderator of a Yahoo group called the Forum for Disclosures, and I'm in the process of initiating an educational academy called the EFFECT Academy, to encourage people to pay attention to what's going on and to participate in our social political arena and civic arena.
Good.
So that's what I do. And I'll be sharing more about that at a future date. But I'm just a concerned individual who realizes that we have to start paying attention and become involved.
Great. Well, you got that right. That's the least we can all do. Jack Topel, thank you for calling in, for organizing this event for Saturday, September 20th at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Miami. I will put all the information on the blog. And I invite you also to go on to the blog at radioornot.com. And after I post today's show, put it in the comments section, the information, how people can get a hold of you and how they can participate in your Yahoo group as well, okay?
I will do that. And also, we're going to be videotaping this thing, and I'll make that videotape available to you also.
Terrific. And we'll post it on the blog as well.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you, Jack.
It was great talking to you.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okey-doke. Bye-bye.
And it's that easy. If you have an event or an issue of local concern that you want to talk about, very easy to get a hold of me. Either, well, you can call 954-889-6410. I am usually in my studio mornings beginning about 8:30 until about noon, which is when I put the shows together and upload them and write the blog. Or you can always email me, radioornot, one word, @gmail.com. And we'll cover your issue. That's what I want to do with the local segment of Radio or Not. I'm Nicole Sandler. Thanks for listening.
We think we're pretty tough. Us city slickers, we get around.